Part 4. A Pretty Task for Zorn. The Duke sat at one end of a black oak table in the black oak room, lighted by flaming torches that threw red gleams on shields and lances. The Duke's gloves sparkled when he moved his hands. He stared moodily through his monocle at young Prince Zorn. The Duke sneered, which made him even colder.
"So you would hunt the boar," he said, "or travel thrice around the moon, or turn November into June."
He laughed, and a torch went out.
"Sarah Linda in November turns November into June. A cow can travel thrice around the moon, or even more. And anyone can merely hunt the boar. I have another plan for you. I thought it up myself last night while I was killing mice. I'll send you out to find 1,000 jewels and bring them back."
The prince turned pale, or tried to.
"A wandering minstrel, I," he said. "A thing of
rubies and sapphires."
The duke's chuckle sounded like ice cackling in a cauldron.
"For you are Zorn of Zorna," he whispered softly. "Your father's casks and vaults and coffers shine with jewels. In 66 days you could sail to Zorna and return."
"It always takes my father 33 days to make decisions," cried the prince.
The duke grinned.
"That is what I wanted to know, my naive prince," he said. "Then you would have me give you 99 days?
"That would be fair," the prince replied. "But how do you know that I am Zorn?"
"I have a spy named Hark,"
the duke explained,
"who found your princely raiment in your quarters in the town and brought it here, with certain signs and seals and signatures revealing who you are. Go, put the raiment on."
He pointed at a flight of iron stairs.
"You'll find it in a chamber, on whose door a star is turning black. Don it and return. I'll think of beetles while you're gone and things like that."
The duke limped to his chair and sat down again, and the prince started up the iron stairs, wondering where the Golux was. He stopped and turned and said,
"You will not give me 99 days. How many, then?"
The duke sneered.
"I'll think of a lovely number," he said. "Go on."
When Zorn came back, he wore his royal attire, but the duke's spies had sealed his sword so that he could not draw it. The duke sat staring at a man who wore a velvet mask and cloak and hood.
"This is Hark," he said, "and this is Listen."
He gestured with his cane at nothing.
"There's no one there," said Zorn.
"Listen is invisible," the duke explained. "Listen can be heard, but never seen. They are here to learn the mark and measure of your task. I give you 99 hours, not 99 days, to find 1,000 jewels and bring them here. When you return, the clocks must all be striking 5.
"The clocks here in the castle?" asked the prince. "The 13 clocks?
"The clocks here in the castle," said the duke. "The 13 clocks.
The prince looked at the 2 clocks on the walls. Their hands pointed to 5:10.
"The hands are frozen," said the prince. "The clocks are dead."
"Precisely," said the duke. "And what is more, which makes your task a charming one, there are no jewels that could be found within a space of 99 hours, except those in my vaults and these."
He held his gloves up and they sparkled. "A pretty task," said Hark.
"Ingenious,"
said the voice of Listen.
"I thought you'd like it,"
said the duke.
"Unseal his sword."
Invisible hands unsealed the prince's sword.
"And if I should succeed?" asked Zorn.
The duke waved a gloved hand at the iron stairs, and Zorn saw Sarah Linda standing there.
"I wish him well,"
she said, and her uncle laughed and looked at Zorn.
"I hired a witch,"
he said,
"to cast a tiny spell upon her. When she is in my presence, all that she can say is this: I wish him well. You like it?"
"A clever spell," said Hark.
"An awful spell,"
the voice of Listen said. The prince and princess spoke a silent language with their eyes, until the duke cried,
"Go!"
And Sarah Linda vanished up the stairs.
"And if I fail?"
asked Zorn. The Duke removed his sword from his sword cane and ran his glove along the blade.
I'll slit you from your guggle to your zatch and feed you to the toad-all.
I've heard of it, said Zorn. The Duke smiled.
You've only heard of half of it,
he said.
The other half is worse. It's made of lip. It feels as if it had been dead at least a dozen days, but it moves about like monkeys and like shadows.
The prince took out his sword and put it back.
The toad-all can't be killed,
the Duke said softly.
It gleeps, said Hark.
What's gleeping?
Asked the prince. The Duke and Hark and Listen laughed.
Time is wasting, prince,
the Duke reminded him.
Already you have only 8 and 90 hours. I wish you every strangest kind of luck.
A wide oak door suddenly opened at the end of the room, and the prince saw lightning and midnight and falling rain.
One last word of warning,
said the Duke.
I would not trust the Golux over far. He cannot tell what can be from what can't. He seldom knows what should be from what is.
The prince glanced at Hark and at the Duke, and at a spot where he thought Listen stood.
When the clocks are striking 5,
he said, and left the room. The laughter of the Duke and Hark and Listen followed him out the door and down the stairs and into the darkness. When he had gone a few steps from the castle, he looked up at a lighted window and thought he saw the Princess Sarah Linda standing there. A rose fell at his feet, and as he picked it up, the laughter of the Duke and Hark and Listen increased inside the black oak room and died away.